Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host today, and I'm coming at you from Oceanside, California, and I want to thank Ron for joining us and telling me that the sound is okay. So I'd love to welcome also this new guest. yes, it's the 80s, but it's, you know, on the radio. Hello. I stole it from Sean. He doesn't play it anymore. Anyway, Oceanside is about 84 degrees. The humidity is a little bit high, but it is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Hello, Rod, Luke. Welcome to the show. It's been an amazing summer here. My back's a little out, so I've been trying to baby it and do good things for it because for my birthday, I got a brand new boogie board, which was absolutely amazing, and a really cool, what they call a rash guard. It's a very lightweight neoprene top that one wears when one surfs. So it's kind of cool. And so as soon as I can get out and try out my new stuff for my surfing, I will absolutely do that. Good to see you guys. I just want to start with some scripture. There's so much to get to today. I can't even fathom it. So Rod has his internet back, so he's happy. This is a reading from the book of Isaiah. This is chapter 51, 1 through 6. Yes, I have an incorrigible chat room going on, but that's okay. Thank you for that. This is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, which was last Sunday, and so I wanted to get into those things. This is the beginning. This is verse 1, and it goes on through verse 6 from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. I would say that those are very strong words and very good words, and we do have our promises from the Lord in the afterlife. The next one is from Matthew 16:13 through 20. This is one of my favorites. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. And in Hebrew, the ancient Aramaic, that means the anointed one. And I want to welcome Dr. Miola and everyone in the chat room, which we've already done. So much is going on. There's many things about amnesty. There's things about ISIS. There's people going nuts. There's stuff in California. I want to get into just a little bit on the California side because it's been crazy. I am so upset with Jerry Mussolini Brown, I can't see straight. So I'm going to try to get into what this man, I think it was over the last few days, had the president of Mexico in Sacramento in front of all these probably Mecha and La Raza clowns and all the rest of these idiotic liberals. They're destroying the state. And Jerry Brown has proclaimed in his eminent wisdom that he's going to welcome every illegal from Mexico into California. He doesn't care. This man gives them freebies. They've ruined the hospitals. He gives them health care. He gives them in-state tuition. He gives them WIC. He gives them food stamps. He gives them everything. It's sick. And nobody cares at how many are standing outside of Home Depot looking for work. Well, there's going to be a lot more homeless people looking for work, not just Hispanics. I'm looking at people saying that I think it was Alex Jones that mentioned California is completely bankrupt. It's that Governor Brown has pretty much doomed America to complete failure to make it look like Detroit. And I'd said this 5 years ago in front of a city council, and I said, you're going to keep this stuff up with this Agenda 21, and this state of California will look like a ghost state, and it will resemble Detroit. Of course, they didn't like what I said. None of them like what I say. I just want to say that anyone who wants to call in and talk about these things, the number here to call is 646-378-0321. And I want to thank you for listening to the readings, because we must keep in mind that this is an amazing promise from the Lord, and we should heed his warnings and his blessings every single day. So again, I'm going to type that in, 646-378-0321. I'm not as adept as Miss Rowland. She's like, and by everything, she's amazing. She can type, talk, and, you know, pet the cats at the same time. And light a cigarette on the air, by the way. So Rod says, remember that they want to combine the North American Union. Oh, yeah, it's been, well, they're pushing and everything. Oh, and this goes along with this reinstitution of this old Kyoto Protocol, which actually coincides with, of course, the 1992 Rio Summit of Agenda 21. Back in the day, and everybody was pushing for that. And in my state, it's beyond. It is. It's. If you think the bullet train is fast, oh no, these guys are warp 10 here in the whole state, and mostly everything they talk about in the San Diego Union Tribune, they keep reiterating the same lies, propagating the same lies. They talk about climate change as if it were real. The same thing with the stuff I'm receiving in the internet about what's going on with Omegat, who wants to push through the climate change protocol treaty with France and I don't know who the heck else. But and he doesn't want Congress to have to ratify it. And these spokespeople are just the things that come out of these people's mouths. You know, it's like listening to what's that thing from Texas? Well, the other one from the Debbie Wasserman Schultz's, the Nancy Piglosi's, the Sheila Jackson Lee's. It's enough to make your head just split wide open. So I'm going to go to what Ron gave me, because this is really important. I want to go through some of the, and he did a caveat for me. He's not a fan of Lincoln, and neither am I, because I've read some things. You know, there's a lot of debate about this stuff, and I know that he was a bad person with what he did, and he tore the nation apart. He literally tore the nation apart, and it was not about slavery. I think that the Congress that was in session at the time had a hell of a lot more to do with it. You know, I know that he was a bad person, but they went along with it and made it all happen. But I want to go to the ending part. I want to go through the conundrum part, and then we'll go to the speech that was done. It says, free people are not equal, and equal people are not free. Because if you go with the libtard version of equality, then you have socialism at the best. Continued, a gun is like a parachute. If you need one and you don't have one, you'll probably never need one again. truer words were never spoken. The definition of the word of conundrum is something that is puzzling or confusing. Here are six conundrums of socialism in the United States of America today. I'm editorializing a little bit. Thank you so much. America is capitalist and greedy, yet half of the population is subsidized. This could go along with cognitive dissonance. Half of the population is subsidized, yet they think they are victims. They think they are victims, yet their representatives run the government. Their own. Their representatives run the government, yet the poor keep getting poorer. Kind of like Detroit and Chicago, you know. The poor keep getting poorer, yet they have things that people in other countries only dream about. Flat screen TVs, Obama phones, you know, free food. They have things that people in other countries only dream about, yet they want America to be more like those other countries. Think about it. And that, my friends, pretty much sums up the United States of America in the 21st century. Makes you wonder who is doing the math. Oh, it must be Common Core and Jeb Bush. These three short sentences tell you a lot about the direction of our current government and cultural environment. We are advised to not judge all Muslims by the actions of a few lunatics, but we are encouraged to judge all gun owners by the actions of a few lunatics. Makes no sense to me either. Funny how that works. And here's another one worth considering. Seems we constantly hear about how Social Security is going to run out of money, but we never hear about welfare or food stamps running out of money. What's interesting is the first group worked for their money, but the second didn't. Think about it. And last but not least, why are we cutting benefits for our veterans, no pay raises for our military, and cutting our army to a level lower than before World War II, but we are not stopping the payments or benefits to illegal aliens? And that, I will expound on that, in any front, especially in California, which is just a mess, and now they want more to come in? They give them everything. Believe me, here it is horrible. And then the last sentence, am I the only one missing something? I wanted to share that with you, and I want to go really quickly to this. Okay. Here is a warning from a politician who has it right. The subject of this speech was citizenship in a democratic republic and threats to American institutions. In the speech, he discussed in glowing terms the political system established by the founding fathers, but warned of a destructive force from within. He asked the listeners. He warned that mobs or people who disrespected American laws and courts could destroy the United States. Here's the quote from the speech. Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chest, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trail of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Whenever the vicious portion of our population shall be permitted to gather in bands of hundreds and thousands and burn churches, ravage and rob provision stores, throw printing presses into rivers, shoot editors, and hang and burn obnoxious persons at pleasure and with impunity, depend upon it. This government cannot last. But such things, the feelings of the best citizens will become more or less alienated from it, and thus it will be left without friends or with too few, and those few too weak to make their friendship effectual. It is to deny what the history of the world tells us is true, to suppose that men of ambition and talents will not continue to spring up amongst us, and when they do, they will as naturally seek the gratification of their ruling passion as others have done before them. The question then is this. Can the gratification be found in supporting and maintaining an edifice that has been erected by others? Most certainly it cannot. Many great and good men, sufficiently qualified for any task they should undertake, may ever be found whose ambition would aspire to nothing beyond a seat in Congress, a gubernatorial or presidential chair, but such belong not to the family of the lion or the tribe of the eagle. What? Think you these places would satisfy an Alexander, a Caesar, or a Napoleon? Never. Towering genius disdains a beaten path. It seeks regions hitherto unexplored. It sees no distinction in adding story to story upon the monuments of fame erected to the memory of others. It denies that it is glory enough to serve under any chief. It scorns to tread in the footsteps of any predecessor, however illustrious. It thirsts and burns for distinction, and if possible, it will have it, whether at the expense of emancipating slaves or enslaving freemen. It is unreasonable, then, to expect that some man possessed of the loftiest genius, coupled with ambition sufficient to push it to its utmost stretch, will at some time spring up among us? And when such a one does, it will require the people to be united with each other, attached to the government and laws, and generally intelligent to successfully frustrate his designs. Distinction will be his paramount object, and although he would as willingly, perhaps more so, acquire it by doing good as harm, yet opportunity being passed and nothing left to be done in the way of building up, he would set boldly to the task of pulling it down. If this sounds familiar and current, it may surprise you to know this speech was delivered in January of 1838 by a little-known politician at the time named Abraham Lincoln. It is known as the Lyceum Address. So I wanted to share that with you, and I'm very happy that hi, Mikey. I'm so happy you've joined the show. If anyone has comments in the chat room, absolutely do that and call in 646-378-0321. I'm going to go back and forth, but I'll keep checking the board to see if there are calls. There are so many things, and I want to thank Ron for that one. Okay, here's the next one. There was articles. The Free Marine protest of Mexico's president in Los Angeles and the spitting assault, but there's huge information on what I touched on earlier, and it's just unbelievable. Here it is. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto kicked off a two-day tour of California with a speech to Mexican immigrants in Los Angeles on Monday, in which he pledged to make life better for his countrymen living on both sides of the border. Yeah, right, another lie. Pledging reduced wait times at border crossings and faster services at Mexican consulates across the United States. Nieto said he had an obligation to serve all Mexicans, get this, regardless of where they lived. I'm going to quote this conehead, this president of Mexico. Quote, "This is the other Mexico," he said of the United States, which is home to an estimated 11 million Mexican immigrants. No, they're illegal aliens, and there's probably 30 million. There's probably 20 million just in California. Enrique Peña Nieto visit to L.A. Dan R. Krause for the Times. Protesters seeking the release of a Marine imprisoned in Mexico gather outside the Millennium Biltmore Hotel in downtown L.A. on Monday. Protesters seeking the release of a Marine imprisoned in Mexico, that would be Tamarisi, gather outside the Millennium Biltmore Hotel in downtown L.A. on Monday. So the president of Mexico, who is making his first official trip to the United States since he was sworn in nearly 2 years ago, spoke in Spanish, listen to this, to a crowd of several hundred at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. He entered a ballroom alight with the colors of the Mexican flag, no surprise there, to thunderous applause and shouts of bienvenidos, or welcome. His visit follows a recent trade mission to Mexico by Governor Jerry Mussolini Brown, who has promised to have the two governments work more closely on immigration. So California is now taking the seat of the highest, you know, and they're going to work on immigration all by themselves. They're going to bypass everybody in the state. Oh, listen to this, my favorite. Immigration, climate change, energy and trade issues. Oh, my head. Mexico, which last year was the recipient of $23.9 billion of California's exports, is the state's largest trade partner. During Brown's visit, an agreement was struck to press forward with plans to create a new border crossing in San Diego County, which advocates say could alleviate delays that cost businesses billions of dollars annually. In introducing Nieto on Monday, Brown spoke about the interwoven histories of Mexico and California and nodded to the immigrants in the room, meaning aliens, saying it didn't matter whether they had permission to be in the United States. Of course, it doesn't matter to him. It only matters to the people who actually understand sovereignty in the state of California. He said, this is quoting Brown, "You are all welcome in California." Nieto also expounded on the close ties between Mexico and California, which has the country's largest population of Mexican immigrants. I'm not surprised, since they've been pouring across that border since 1972 by the thousands. He thanked state officials for embracing foreigners. Oh, my God. Citing measures that extend state benefits to immigrants and presented scholarships, to several immigrant alien students enrolled at California universities. Start the conversation and be the first to comment. Anyway, before he spoke out, Nieto heard from several local Mexican-American leaders about the concerns of immigrants, aliens. Pina Hernandez, who heads a federation of immigrants, aliens, who come from the Mexican state of Jalisco, said violence back home by warring drug cartels is still a top issue for many. Another lie. Nieto, who recently unveiled a new police unit to help fight cartel violence, did not talk about security measures Monday, although he expressed his commitment to strengthen government institutions. Oh, I'll bet. He also did not address a group of several dozen protesters gathered outside the hotel, including some who said they were upset with his recent move to open Mexican oil and gas reserves to foreign and private investments. Audience member Angelica Salas, who migrated to the United States from Mexico as a child and now heads the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. Oh, this is just gets better and better. An influential advocacy group said Peña Nieto's domestic policies are important to immigrants here. If Mexico were safer and had a stronger economy, fewer people would leave, she said, adding that immigration should be a choice as opposed to a forced choice. Good God. Nieto was joined by a delegation of governors from several Mexican states, as well as Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, who made his own trade mission to Mexico in March. Speaking in Spanish, this mayor of Los Angeles announced plans to declare 2017 the year of Mexico in Los Angeles, oh, nice, which he said would include celebrations of the contributions that Mexican Americans have made to the city. On Tuesday morning, Nieto will travel to Sacramento to have lunch with Mussolini Brown and address the legislature. A good relationship with Nieto and Mexico could pay political dividends for the governor, who is running for re-election in November. In 2010, Latinos made up 19.2% of California voters. That's great, because only 28% turned out of the primary, according to the California Civic Engagement Project at the UC Davis Center for Regional Change. Oh, can you handle this nonsense? Hi, FT. Thanks. Okay. Rod says something Governor Brown, Article 1. And remind. Well, there is a person going up against Brown this November, which is about 2 months away. So his name is Neil Kashkari. This guy is a freaking charlatan if I've ever heard one speak. This man has no loyalties to anyone. This guy is all out for himself. I'm telling you, he is a rhino. He's a progressive. And all he can tell people is, I think I'm bringing in Bill because he probably can't get in any other way, but I'm going to do that anyway. Hey, is that Mr. Bill Strong?
Yes, it is.
How many folks you got there in the room?
I got me, my wife, and Chad.
Yay. Okay, well, I was talking about this idiot, Neil Kashkari, and everybody who is a conservative, or calls themselves that, is saying they want to vote for him to get rid of Brown. So I don't know if any of us will hold our noses and do that, but, you know, California is pretty much gone. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's just ridiculous. They're fighting about the bag, the ban. You know, they're trying to ban the plastic bags in all. They've already done it in many of our libtard cities here, Solana Beach and Encinitas. They're trying. They put down temporarily the banning of a statewide measure, but now they're speaking you will love this, of 20 cents a gallon more in the state of California for gasoline by 2015. And then by 2017, it will be 76 cents more a gallon. Now, if they can't figure out why this is happening, that people are fleeing this state in droves and have been for the past 6 to 7 to 10 years, I mean, I don't know what these people – it's just pure Agenda 21. They're out of their minds. They have lost their minds. I think we lost Ron because I don't know. Yeah, she just got home. Thanks, Ron. His wife's coming in from Nashville, so he has to greet her and everything. So that's wonderful. Hopefully others will join us. Again, thank you for calling in, Bill. You missed a lot of the show if you didn't hear any of it through other methods on your computer. How's your computer doing today?
My computer's still down. I haven't even really messed with it.
Okay.
I got so many things going on with tearing down this building. Kind of a mini heat wave hit us. Wife's day yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Happy birthday.
I want to say how old she is.
That's okay. That's all right.
She says 27.
Well,
who am I to argue? I'm only 4 years older than her.
Okay. Well, I still got you guys beat. I know it. And, you know, I don't care about, you know, telling my age or anything. But I had my birthday on the 23rd, and we had a blast, and I posted pictures on Facebook and all that stuff. So, it was like birthday week. You know, in my area, we have birthday week. We just started Thursday, and we just went all the way through Tuesday because yesterday my niece took me to lunch at Pizza Port, and we had a blast. It was wonderful. I have some beautiful gifts from people, and I'm going to get out the rest of my thank you cards ASAP. And so what do you think about this garbage with Mussolini Brown and President Pena or Nina or whatever his name is from Mexico?
You know, I don't see a choice there. It's like you lose either way.
Yep.
I see that it's not just there in California. It's across the nation.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Here's the part that drives me crazy. I keep hearing this, and I know they've got chemtrails everywhere. I know that they've got libtards everywhere. But I have, I think it's 28% of the registered voters in California are Republicans. I live in a blue state. At least you can probably fight easier. Look what we have as a governor. What did I just read? I mean, this guy is the most communist piece of garbage I've ever seen. He's crazy. Now they're putting together this huge water bond that they want to, what do you call it? They want to fleece the taxpayers further after they've stolen money from them. They want them to vote for this water bond where they could easily scrap the stupid high-speed rail and use that for whatever reservoirs they want to make. And they could stop pumping.
Why are they proposing making new reservoirs when they drain the other reservoirs and cause the drought?
Exactly. And if they would stop pumping the fresh water.
Flow straight into the ocean.
Oh, I know. Nobody talks about this stuff because we have idiots. We have absolute moron idiots. I mean, I'm going to go back and find the next articles because I got a ton of them. I mean, I really wanted to get through these because they're so important. Here it is. Let's see. This is for my friend in, where is it? There was a file. Here it is. This is the new gas tax. If I can, I don't even know if I could get it up, but okay. Secret gas tax to take effect January 2015. Coalition aims to delay implementation. So, in other words, there's another bill coming in. It says tax increase, which will negatively impact virtually everyone in the state, California, is lurking right around the corner, but barely 30% of Californians are even aware of it. Effective January 21-5, California Air Resources Board, another evil entity, CARB, plans to expand the cap-and-trade program to include gasoline and diesel fuel. According to CARB, this expansion could increase the cost of gasoline from 16 cents per gallon to as much as 76 cents per gallon or more. This is what This is like $7 to $10 more every single time you fill up at the gas pump. This is crazy.
The thing they should do at the gas pump, it should list how much is actual cost of the gas and how much is state and federal taxes.
Well, this is something – well, they won't
and
do that,
the
but
people,
look.
The people would get a better idea of what the problem is.
Well, look, I can't force these – look, there's no reason why everybody who's complaining at the gas pump isn't doing their homework, Bill. I cannot make them drink the water. It's not fair to you and me to go out and educate people. It's their dang responsibility. This is,
But by saying that, we're admitting that their attempt to dumb down the public has worked.
I've been having debates about Common Core in my area. I mean, these people are actually, they don't even understand that they're supposed to take their kids out of these schools. You should hear this stuff. Mike B., you would be absolutely appalled at the comments, absolutely floored. And this is in California because we have nothing but libtards, absolute libtards. It's unbelievable what goes on here. Here's what's going on in the local stuff. Besides Mussolini Brown and all the rest of this nonsense, there's so much of it. I get inundated. So in my city council, we've got, there are five people running because two of them are incumbent. They want to hold on to their seats. Those particular two are the ones we and my friends want to oust. There are three candidates going up against that. So in other words, those three are vying for those two seats to get them out. Okay. There are two people that my friends and I support. We're doing everything we can because we're trying to slow down some of this nonsense. We're trying to have a balance on the city council because the Agenda 21 is just absolutely pouring out of their pores. I read it to you guys, even though Ken was on the air with me, and he was listening to it because I had it with this idiot, Gary Feline, and his remarks to the people, especially me and my friends, at this meeting at the Tri-City Tea Party. And he pointed to us and called us liberals. I called him out so bad. I don't think he'll – even his aides probably having nightmares about the letter that I wrote to him. He's saying that he's a fiscal conservative, which is BS. They all hide behind this. I told him, you guys are all hiding behind it. And I told him about Agenda 21 in no uncertain terms. And I told him about NASCO and UNITO and the rest of it. I was absolutely not going to let him get away with what he got away with. And everybody has positive proof with past records of how he votes and what these people do. What these people do, it's like when you're in the city council, it's like the appropriations in Congress because they hold the purse strings. Well, when you got five people on a city council and the majority of them votes to take the city's money in the coffers and waste it on things that the Planning Commission has already flat out rejected several times and then take away that money from the issues that actually affect the people in all the neighborhoods of Oceanside, you need to replace these people. This is what I have told Dana. You've got to make this one of your speaking points because if you don't get that message out, you're not going to win this thing. So, I mean, I don't know. You can comment on that, Bill, because people just, they don't understand.
What we need across this nation is that every one of these elected officials, council members and stuff, should have to expose their investment. They got the investment, who they're invested with, and what office they held when they gained that investment. You'd see what the problem is.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Bill, because we have people who have been diligent in our groups, like Action and everything, we've dug it up. We've got the proof because it's part of the city records. All this stuff is in the archives. And here's the thing. You don't have to go very far. All you have to be is an activist like me and my friends, and you will find out who's paying these guys for the campaign contributions because they have to make that public, Bill. They have to disclose this stuff. They've got PACs, the PACs, you know, political action committee things, and they have to disclose this stuff to many entities and the IRS. I mean, if this is not secret. You just do a FOIA or you just find out. You can go into the archives of city council and you find out who's doing what. We've already followed the money trail. We've made our own investigations. We know that the park owners here are giving huge, because they're rich. They're multimillionaires. They're funding these campaigns to defeat us because they don't want our candidates in there, because then their little schemes go away. They go by the wayside. You get it? Then they can't I mean, he could sell the damn thing. They just have to play games with us. He could sell that park over there and make everybody leave because he's dang close to doing it anyway. But California mobile home residency law prohibits him without him relocating them. He's trying to get around relocating them because he doesn't want to take any more money out of his fat wallet. And I'm not, you know, one to say, you know, that a capitalist can't be a capitalist. I'm not that way. But when he's hurting seniors and vets, and threatening to throw them out in the streets and they have no compensation, because many of these people own those coaches. It's a dual partnership. It's a dual property rights thing. And California, even the state of California has ruled that because they forced people to be in these stupid parks. So if you in other words, you can't have squeezed blood out of a turnip and you can't have it both ways. If they want to force us into these parks, then they've got to make concessions that somebody has paid 50 or, you know, whatever thousands of dollars for that one home, even though the space underneath has to be rented from the landowner or the business owner. In my case, Steve Epson on this side. Anyway, so we're up against this stuff. So we know that Steve and his cronies and all these big guys like Sam Zell up in L.A. and all these bad guys and all these developers who want to push their Agenda 21, put all your little bit of open space here, put the high-rises up and the multi-use and the high density, put them along the rail corridors. They're all getting their marching orders from probably Sacramento, AB 32, and Sandag, who wants you out of your car on their own website. All you have to do is read their own words, people. It's like looking up the Communist Manifesto. Let's read it. But oh no, nobody has the time to open up, or they don't have the brains to comprehend what they're reading. I'm tired of it. Whenever I am in public or I'm able to get on a forum or send an email to somebody like that idiot Feline, I'm telling you, I'm calling them out. I am not going to be nice to them. I will never use cuss words because I don't have to. My vocabulary is just fine. I will call them out and I will call a spade a spade. That's that simple. Because that's what I'm about. I'm done with these people. I don't care. They can put me on lists all day. I'm probably on so many lists. I'm done. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Well, if I'm not on one of those lists, I feel spited because I've worked hard to be there. I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I'm appalled at the laziness of the American public that they will not do any research on their own. They will not pay attention to what's going on. If you try to tell them, the majority of it's like, oh, they can't do that, and they want to go on. They'll never look to see if they're doing it or not, if they can or what. You know, they're indifferent.
Well, it's the apathy is what's going to be the demise. And you probably missed my reading of Lincoln's speech before he was not president at the time. This was way back. Or maybe, no, it was 1838, so he was not president. Anyway, but he was a politician back then. And it was, and you know, like Ron sent it to me, and he and I both agree we're not a real big fan of his, but his words were very true. There were things that he said in his past, in his time, that were very poignant and very good. And this one was one of them. So if I can, what I'll do is I'll just email that to you if you can get it. I don't know how your internet's doing right now, but these are the things I'm dealing with in California on a daily basis. I'm dealing with it in my own community. But the good news is we've got, I think, September 16th and 17th, I'm not sure of the dates, but we're all going to get letters because we have been fighting very hard inside these two mobile home parks to work with these attorneys to do what we have to do against this park owner, because that will not only buy us some time, but it will put the kibosh on these people, these owners, that they cannot do anything to retaliate against us filing a lawsuit. that's a big no-no, even in Libtard, California. You do not retaliate because somebody has sued you. So that will keep them from blocking our sales, because if they try to block our sales with this lawsuit pending, not only will they get a call, well, I put in a call to the attorney, but I will put in a call to Michael Turco, who has the Turco files. He goes, I think he's at KUSI or one of them. He goes out to everybody. He don't care if it's Chula Vista, Oceanside, he don't care who it is, La Jolla. He'll go to after somebody who's wronging a citizen any day of the week, and he's been doing it for years. So believe me, there will be media involved in this. I will not back down. So, because our window of opportunity, we have a land lease here that's up in 2020. I want to be out of here in about a year and 4 months. That's what I want. That's my goal. I want to be able to do the estate sale. I want to sell this house. I want that lawsuit done. I'm taking my money, and I'm in Indiana, baby. I'm there. I got my books. I'm checking it out. I go online for the new ones. I'm doing everything I can to figure this out. And I think I've seen opportunities in Jackson County that just blow my mind. Absolutely amazing. These are things, and I think I could more easily fight against Agenda 21 and the other evils of the corporate fascism from a red state than I can from here. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know what you think.
I think you'd find out you'd have an awful lot of support around this area.
Let me tell you something.
Already out there screaming in this area.
Right. Let me tell you, if I get back there, I will organize a posse, and I will fire you guys up with pitchforks and torches tomorrow. I'm serious. I am not backing down from any of this stuff. I think we need to do it. This is,
It's now or never, folks, because we're at that time where it's about to get bad. I think you're going to start seeing attacks here in this country, suicide attacks, whatever, little acts of terror coming up around in our country now, and a lot of it's going to be because they refuse to secure the southern border, and they've allowed access that way. And, of course, Mexico has allowed the radical Muslims to come through their country. And then you're going to have other problems in the Middle East popping up here and there over that. I think we're about to really head into a bad period.
Here's what I don't think you were in Ron's show, but he was explaining what's going on with ISIS and what's going on with our own government. When you start peeling back the layers of the onion and you look to see that video of the so-called beheading of this person, which was obviously staged, and you notice the similarities of the other person, what was it, 12 years ago, Daniel Pearl, the same orange jumpsuit, the same nonsense. Okay. And this person who was doing this so-called beheading, Foley, is a British accent coming out of Britain. Well, look what's going on in Europe. Look what's going on in the United States and has been going on for a long time. And Ron explained that all this nonsense that's going on has been funded by us and trained by us. So everybody out there who's crying and screaming and bemoaning and saying, oh, we're going to get hit, we're going to be attacked, they're telling you what they're going to do, Bill. In other words, just like 9/11.
Our government is giving them a head start to get covered or whatever, this and that, by what they're doing. Their constant leaks about what we're doing, it just goes to the core of me, because you're putting my brothers and sisters in the military on the line when you do this kind of thing.
True, but here's the problem.
On the line when you go out here and say you're doing this, you're doing that, and give them a heads up.
Here's what I think is going to happen, and I think this is going to be exactly like 2001 9/11. This is going to be another false flag, because that was a false flag if there ever was one. And I have heard Mikey on when he had the Hot Seat radio show, and he had several people on there, including One Angry Jew and others, who have studied this, and I mean gone in depth, that I have seen so much stuff on these reports, videos, commentaries, blogs, all these things, and audios that, and Ron even touched on this totally Monday about Cheney perpetrating this, and that the reason that George Bush's face looked like it did in that schoolroom is because he said, dang, he actually did it. What he said he was going to do. And I do not trust our institutions. They are lying to us, Bill. I
just don't trust our government and stuff, but I also don't go along with that whole ideology because there are things I know for a fact. I know it was built with Japanese steel. You ever try to grind Japanese steel? It doesn't grind. It melts. It'll set on fire.
Well, but
yeah,
okay, right, but there were explosions that not only some people say it was C4, others have said that there was a small nuke at the bottom of that sucker, because that came down like a planned explosion, like a demolition. That was a planned controlled demolition, and there was three buildings involved, and Building 7 was huge.
We don't know what happened to the gold that was in there. We don't know what happened to a lot of things. But
okay,
you're probably speculate and jump to conclusions. When there's certain things on my own that I know about how thermite works. I know there's a lot of buildings that have thermite in them and don't even know it. I know that the steel that's used is subgrade steel. It doesn't. You cannot grind it. It will melt.
Yeah, so I just want to address some of this stuff. Yeah,
it got heated up and it burned and it melted down.
Right. Give me a second here. So I think that Mikey's correct because he was talking about the Bush family was in on it from the get-go and that the look on his face was an act. I'm not surprised. That doesn't surprise me. But I wanted also real quickly, and if you guys want to call in, please, Mikey, call if you can get in or if you have a cell phone or anything like that. I know Skype and BTR sometimes don't mesh. I've had that problem too.
I'm not going to try to decide that this side's the bad guy, that side's the bad guy. I've said all along, we are being screwed over by both political parties, the establishment of both political parties. And to keep putting people that are members of that establishment back in there, or to put someone in an office that's going to turn around and then start catering to them, you're getting nowhere.
Right. No, I get you. Here's the thing. I wanted to just go back real quick to Rod because he said, I think I'm sure he was joking when he said that I don't get much material if I go to Indiana because I'm inundated with the illegal alien influx in California. Well, look, here's the situation in a nutshell. At some point, I cannot afford to live in this state. It is nuts. They're forcing people out. When you look at between 22 and 76 cents per gallon more, begging the ban, trying to do their draconian gun laws, which they're being shot down, thank God. Mussolini Brown is welcoming more into the state. He's pushing the bullet train.
As long as they'll support their agenda, they'll kiss their ass.
Well, yeah. He thinks that it's going to – he thinks like Omega does because he thinks that these are perpetual Democrat voters, which he's probably correct in some sense, but I don't care. I don't want to play this game anymore. Every time I read this garbage, it's like it's reason 651 to get the hell out of the state. Look, I have beautiful weather. I have low humidity, blue skies, the beautiful ocean. There's high waves right now. I could actually body surf with the white water. I've got my whole family here. I've got my church here. I've got patriot friends here. I've got dancing friends here. I'm telling you, it would be very difficult for me to leave there. I mean, even though I hate what they're doing to it, I don't want to be caught up in the Agenda 21 meltdown and the Holocaust because it's coming. I don't want to be here. I don't have five or six people to help me reload. I don't want to be here.
Because people are becoming aware of it, and the more people come aware of it, the more desperate they get to finalize it all.
Right,
it's the influx of illegals.
It's horrible.
They're not paying attention to the agenda, because the agenda calls for a big reduction in population, and illegals aren't smart enough to figure out that they're part of that reduction.
Oh, yeah, well, look, here's the thing. Like I said, if I could get to your state, I'm going to try to explain this to Rod. I could actually have enough money every single year to fly back here twice a year to go boogie boarding in July and hang out at Christmas, Whereas I can't do anything from here. I'm stuck here in the Agenda 21 matrix. I don't want to be there. I don't want to wait until it's too late to get out of here. Plus the fact, when they close this park, there's nowhere else for me to go. And if I wait for that to happen, I get zero for this coach. I get no money out of this scrap metal. Nothing. I get zero. So I'm not doing it. You know, and if my family can't handle it by Skyping and Facebooking and telephone calls and me coming back twice a year, I can't help that. I like hanging out with them too. It's great, but my God, there comes a time when the getting out's got to get getting good. You got to do it when the timing is correct. So, I don't know what to say, you know, other than I'm tired of it.
We have some pretty big ass lakes here that it's hard to see the other side.
Are you talking about Patoka?
No, I'm talking about Patoka's one. We also have Monroe.
Okay.
They're both pretty huge, and we have a lot of other lakes that you probably won't even see on the map that are pretty large.
Yeah, here's the deal. I went on the website for Patoka because I was curious. That thing's huge. I love it. I think we should do the houseboat thing, man. That just looked great. Oh my God, that would be fun.
Well, that's on Dylan's face because that's what she's been screaming.
Absolutely. Yay! Like-minded. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And belated happy birthday.
My brother and we had a blast. We
had
one of the big slides with the upper deck and everything too. So it was awesome.
I gotta go here. Rod was talking about you would have to learn how to swim. Honey, I swim in the ocean. I've swum in Lake Tahoe. I went to Delaney. I swim everywhere. I love to swim. I'm an avid swimmer. Love the surf. I'm not afraid of the ocean. Don't worry about me, honey. Life jacket or no life jacket? Living on a houseboat. Well, I'm sure they have life jackets. I mean, that would be fun for 7 days or whatever we do. But
yeah,
that would be great. As long as the wine keeps flowing and the cheeseburgers and the heavy-duty, high-calorie pasta, I'm fine. I'm good.
So. I tried a new recipe for hamburgers this week.
Okay.
My son got me this Bad Brian's butt rub, and I put it on my hamburgers, and I'll tell you what, it's the best hamburgers I ever ate.
Wow. Was it a dry rub?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because the flavor is just beyond. What I did, I like to do this because, you know, we're sick of talking politics right now. We're going to do food right now. So if you guys want to call in with your recipes, that's great. We've got about 37 minutes left. If you want to rant, come on. Come on, Higher Truth Radio. I dare you. I'll give you the last 10 minutes. Anyway, so what I did, Bill, because I'm still trying to get my hey, Borp, call in. We'd love to hear from you. We have plenty of time. I have this little business I'm still trying to get off the ground, and it takes a lot of doing, and I need to get a hold of the guys at YP.com and everything and spend a few dollars. But I did pretty well with the people up at Ocean Hills. Anyway, so they took something that they wanted, and it wasn't even on my menu, and they said, can you do it? And I says, absolutely. So I said, what is it? Anyway, they wanted baby back ribs, pork, and they wanted it barbecued, you know, all that. And they wanted certain kind of side dishes. And so, you know, I did all the side dishes. So Miss Linda, knowing of what she did know from Emeril Lagasse and former employers of mine who owned restaurants and were really cool chefs, I went on and Googled Texas-style dry rub and Texas-style barbecue sauce from scratch. And I got two of the best recipes. I'm not kidding. Now, my mother is very hard to please. So the day that I made these for my clients, I gave her two of these small ribs. She ate them like it was, and she has not a big appetite. But anyway, she was just going crazy. And for my mother to eat something off the bone, you know, with spice in it, is like a miracle. Let me tell you, this, I gotta send you that if I can, Bill. It's just freaking phenomenal, especially the wet sauce. Oh,
David, I even took some of my baby rays and I mixed them my ten kinds of different cut up, dried up, ground up hot peppers into it. Spread that over a burger or two, and oh my gosh! But I like a flaming burger.
Oh yeah. Anyway, I was encouraging my people to call in, like Mikey and Bort, because we want to, you know, we got a few minutes to kill, but I'm telling you, you know, we had great food at Delaney. The fun and everything else was fabulous. The weather was pretty good. The last day, I think it was Saturday when I took the, we had the pavilion and I took the kids off of Wolfie's hair and stuff, and I loved it because I got to go down there and play in the water with them and stuff, and they were a little bit incorrigible, but they were pretty okay. You know, they got too much energy, but you know, it was great. And then we had great food and music, everything, and then the speech, oh, it was just amazing. It was just so much fun. It was good that we actually found those two people who were just wonderful musicians, and the lady came up and she wanted everything I had. I gave her the Constitution and I, you know, talked to her about stuff, and she's, I don't know if you ever heard from him again, but that was a great deal because we actually got someone interested.
She has been digging into stuff and talking
good
to her friends and spreading the words to them. I'm very, you know, amazed at that. I'm proud of that, that she learned it from, heard from us. Took it and did something with it, and doing something with it.
Absolutely. You know, I have to go through all this stuff, and people, I've got people on Facebook. They're putting out this stuff. It's called Californians Against Common Core. And then I'm looking at the comments and I'm going, because these people are saying, well, we're trying to opt out, but and they're doing this, and we're telling our kids to not comply, and of course the kids are bullying it into complying, and then the kids are coming home crying, and I'm going, excuse me? I'm commenting going, why are you still sending them there? I don't understand that. And they're going, well, we can't all homeschool and we can't afford to, you know, do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, then stop complaining. I was just livid.
Of Indiana there, we have the most advanced charter school system in the nation, where if you take your kid and send them to a charter school, instead of giving the money to the public school, they give it to the charter school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at least they have a choice. That's the important thing. This is the school choice and voucher systems, charter schools. I would opt for, I think we should go back to the two-room schoolhouses on every corner. That's what would be my thing. And the parents find the books on Amazon that are real, and you research it, and you teach them yourselves. You volunteer to teach. Everybody takes a turn. Forget this nonsense. Bust the unions. Bust this nonsense up. Stop complying. Dry up the money source, and this evil crap will go away. And I'm telling you, I get a lot of flack from saying this stuff, and I don't care. I don't care. They can, I don't care what they call me. I think they're so damned indoctrinated. I think that this generation with these young kids are so indoctrinated already. It's a loss, especially here in California. Oh my God. I don't even know where to, sometimes it just takes my breath away and makes my hair shoot blood out of the ends of it. It's nuts. Completely nuts.
Until they kind of start hauling them away, they'll never believe nothing.
That's right.
I believe that. I honestly believe that a lot
I'm
of the
convinced
public is that way. They won't believe it until they start to haul them away.
Yep, in the boxcars. Yep, absolutely. Oh, Bill, I'm with you. And that's another reason I have to get out of California, because I do not want to be here in this house all by myself with nobody like a little militia army around me to help me reload. To fight off the bullshit, excuse my French, because that's what's going to happen. And I don't want to be in this state when this thing hits. It's going to hit. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when.
You have an administration that's doing a great job at driving wedges in the public to keep
oh
up
my
the
God.
That
yeah.
You have to admit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I keep hearing, well, they got all these reasons for treason, but Republicans aren't interested in pursuing it. I always thought the law was the law. It was the law. But apparently our elected and all their cronies and buddies, the laws don't apply to them, only to us. And take the situation and try to make it, politicize it, as they've done with the situation in St. Louis suburb, as they're doing, and we've had other murders across this nation involving law enforcement, that it was somebody else of a different race gets killed. That don't matter. It doesn't matter that black violence in Chicago is totally off the wall and out of hand. None of that matters. Until we start standing up and take all these things out of the sun, quit trying to throw in some kind of thing to separate us and find more ways to unite us, to stand up for certain things. I'm sure all these people that have took to the streets, if they actually understood the truth of Agenda 21, that they'd be taking a longer look before they run out on the street under that cause.
Right. And I was listening to, I can't remember which show it was. It was either Hannity or one of them, but Screwy Louie, Calypso Louie, was spouting his communist BS, and I was just shocked, and I shouldn't be shocked because the guy is such an idiot, and he's a charlatan like the rest of them. I just don't understand how anyone can listen to this socialist Karl Marx nonsense, and he's talking about, you know, inequality, and they're taking the opportunities, and no, you know, it's like, excuse me? He has no concept of free market, no concept of personal responsibility, no concept of what this whole thing was founded upon, of free markets.
I'd like to understand how they're taking the opportunities. You have this opportunity to get an education when you choose not to. You have the opportunity to go to work and provide for your family and stuff, do the best you can, and you choose not to. You have the opportunities. You just choose not to take advantage of them because you want it all handed to you. You don't want to have to earn a damn thing.
Well, no, they don't. Yeah, they have to. And then everybody's exonerating this clown who they call the gentle giant, and even Rush Limbaugh was making fun of that, who robbed that convenience store. And then, of course, he got shot when he was charging the police in Ferguson. So, I mean, and then at the eulogy, they're talking about this wonderful, upstanding citizen, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God. But it's okay. So it's normal for you to have your son go out and steal from a store. That's perfectly okay with you, you bitch. That's my answer. I would have stood up and yelled it right out in the damn crowd. I don't care. I'm sick of it. I am sick of the lies and the BS. I am sick of it. It's insanity. And all of this garbage about somebody's taking opportunities from you, no. You know, there's so many progressive libtard BS that's going on in all of the inner cities of the big cities, which Thomas Jefferson absolutely loathed, by the way, and for good reason.
If somebody is stealing the opportunity away from the young black people, it's the older black people who teach them this entitlement ideology who themselves have not taken advantage of the opportunities that have been presented. But then I turn around and I look and I see people of all races everywhere who have took advantages of education, who have took advantages of getting jobs and working their way up the ladder, the conclusion that these people know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, the thing is they don't, and then half the time they lie. When you got Screwy Louie, Calypso Louie, you know, being pandering and charlatan ass brain, it's just disgusting. He lies. He's a leftist. He's so far to the left, he should be in the Black Book of the American Left by David Horowitz, by the way. I mean, it's just sickening. He's just an agitator, a liar, an anti-American divider. Just like, I mean, and he's probably worse than the other two, although because he's a follower of Islam and all that crap. So, I mean, it's just disgusting. So if we cannot be discerning and see through this nonsense and start fighting against it, and that, what was that, the idiot place in Vermont? Of course, Libtard Vermont.
I'm going to ask you, Louis, this. For less than 2,000 years, because Islam hasn't been around that long.
Right.
From the time Islam's been around, what the hell have you done for anybody?
besides behead people and be, you know. Well, look, there was enough. Go ahead.
And Stewie Lee, your ancestors came from the continent of Africa. What the hell have your ancestors been doing? Your relatives.
Exactly. Nothing. Well, there was another article, and I'm sure you guys saw it on Facebook if anyone had internet access, and it's been everywhere. A restaurant in Vermont, and I can't remember the name of it, but they had this sign. It said something about celebrate bacon or whatever the heck it was, and they had all these little things going on with the bacon. So one Muslim woman up there complained, and they took the sign down. I'm telling you, if it had been me and my friends up there or anybody who's got it going on, there would have been raw bacon all over the rooftop of that restaurant. There would have been all kinds of offense speech signs everywhere. If why do these people cave? What in the hell is going on in this country? There's no backbone. There's no cojones. Nothing from anybody except you, me, and a couple others. Because I'll tell you, I'm about ready to raise hell. I'm done. I'm sick of these schmucks.
When we talk about the history of organized crime in this country, I don't know why no one ever brings it up, but the biggest organized crime organization that the country's ever faced is sitting in an office right now.
Okay, he gets his ideas from the mafia because he studied Saul Alinsky, and that's where Saul got his crap from.
He has the same masters that Bush had.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, look. We're dealing with great evil here. We're dealing with psychotic people, very evil predators. So this is something people just don't understand. They just don't – how they cannot recognize it. How they cannot equate it with somebody doing you physical harm is beyond my comprehension. But, you know, that's what's going on. My hair is on fire. I'm ready to fight. And I know Mikey doesn't agree with a lot of that stuff. But, you know what? I'm in California. They're going to come if I don't get out of here soon enough, and there's going to be all kinds of hell to pay. And I that's why I want to get out of here. I don't want to die on my doorstep. I just don't. It's ridiculous. It's absolute craziness. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've got a small chat room. Unless you guys got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about, I think I've covered a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to take us out with a song. Go ahead and talk, Bill, and while I find something. And I'm so glad that Jolene's there and Chad's there.
Our chance, the big chance of this nation is to find one item that unites the people together, because that's the only way we're going to win what we're fighting. We're actually fighting two different political parties that have the same agenda, and that is to control us, control every facet of our life. And to make decisions on who should live and who should be fed to the oven.
And I'm not going to close quite yet because I got Mikey Beyond. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Linda. How are you? Hey Bill.
Good.
What's going on?
Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm listening to you guys, you know, and I don't think we can fight a war with another war. So I'm not really – what I'm all about is – you got to leave the system, and I think time being spent. Like I'll give an example. I'm on Facebook a lot. I have well over 1,000 contacts. I belong to a lot of different groups. It's mostly publicity for the show and whatnot. But I get up every morning and I see 50. I get 50 or 60 notifications of people staying up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Save Gaza this, conspiracy that, and I'm thinking to myself, why don't you go to bed so you can get up in the morning, be productive, get a job maybe, become self-sufficient, and you can just walk away from all this. See, I think that's the problem here, is that we're so caught up in
this cause, that cause,
this meeting, that meeting, and we're forgetting about the fact that if we take care of ourselves, get healthier, get stronger, get more independent.
Sure.
We'll be less needy on the government.
Oh,
to think about it. way more than 50%. I think it's probably more than 6 out of 10 Americans in one form or another are getting a government check. Doesn't matter how.
I know.
It's the point of it. And, you know, if this system was to collapse tomorrow, what would they all do? I mean, no one's really asking that question. What would you do? Are you really prepared for such a venture? So, you know, be careful what you wish for. You just may get it.
That's true. Yeah, I know. But we lost Bill for a second, but he's back, and I know that his family's prepared. So,
well, he is, and that's fine. I'm talking about people, you know, coast to coast. That's clamoring for all this upheaval.
Right.
Be careful what you wish for. Are you prepared for the aftermath? And that's why I've been saying on my show, brace for impact, because you know, the impact is going to be severe. Are you ready?
Right. And here's, I get where you're coming from, because I know you've touched on it. I know that Ron's touched on it. I've kind of skirted with all this stuff. But what I'm looking at, and he did talk about it on his show about local control and local government, because those are important issues. You can't reach out and slap the face of Harry Reid, which I'd love to do, but I can't. But I can go hang out and with my local people in my city council and tell them up front on the air, in fact, on the local television station in front of the whole community, that what they're doing is wrong. So at least I have that option. You've got
to
start
local.
Okay, but
how is it working now? But how much progress have you made? How much progress
have
you made?
Right now it's not so good. But so what we're doing...
No. Wait a minute. Let's break it down. Have you gained ground at all? Or have you lost ground over the
probably
years?
Probably lost ground. But let me tell you
Then that should tell you something.
I know. But
tells me a lot. But
now what we're resorting to, because we're going to bring it back even more locally, which is my own neighborhood and my own mobile home parks and things, we have enlisted the help of the attorneys, because they're the only ones who can literally take these guys to court and make them do the right thing by us, which will get me out of this state and into a place where I don't have to deal with their high-rise stuff and their rents and all these things. And then I can, you know what I'm saying? I'm freed up for other things to really make a big difference.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. You guys, your fellow residents, I guess, want to have a class action suit against the owner. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Are all you people still paying your rent and fees?
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
Great. You're paying for his attorney. So what could he do if all of you in unison said, you know what? You don't start acting like a responsible owner. We all in unison are not going to pay. What could
they
do?
They won't do it. They won't do it because they're too chicken. These people are elderly and they're terrified.
You see, that's the problem. So that's a lost cause. Because you guys are financing his attorney. He probably already has a lot of money. He'll just keep this going for years. Half of you will die anyway.
No,
by the time
I don't
he
think,
even get anything.
Okay, here's why we hired the people we did, Mikey.
Okay.
These guys in San Diego have been up against this because this Agenda 21 has been going on for a long time, and this is where this stems from. I'm telling you, they want these mobile home parks out of here. These attorneys have been fighting against other mobile home park people, owners, in the failure to maintain, et cetera, statutes, and they have not lost a case yet. So
thank God.
That's where, I mean, I know that's a lot to hang my hat on, but hey, you know, I'm doing it. I don't care. And I think we're going to make it this time. I think we're going to, you know, and that's going to afford me to get out of here, fly back twice a year to hang out with my family, still have fun with other new people in Indiana, do whatever I want to do back there, whether it's political or business-wise, culinary arts, whatever it is. If I want to go take a ballet class or go up to Indianapolis and see the ballet in person, I'm going to do it because then I can afford to do it. I'm done. They're strangling us here. California's a mess. You know, and that's kind of my ticket out. So I think maybe you can kind of see where I'm coming from.
Well, let me ask you this. How much are you paying this attorney?
Well, we're all kind of like in the same ballpark, but most of them are
much?
Still. It's like it's under $500 a month, not counting utilities.
No, no. How much are you paying the attorney to fight this?
He's taking it totally on contingency if he wins.
Oh, okay. So there's no out of pocket for you. Well, that's something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were very fortunate to get these guys. I mean, that's why, you know, look, the people who have garnered these guys, they've done their research. They're not playing games because they've got more to lose than I do, you know,
and
seriously.
And let me ask you another question. You talk about getting out. Have you set a goal? Do you have a date?
Between 6 months to a year.
No. Do you have a date?
Not yet.
Well, see, that's the problem. You have to set a definitive date.
Okay.
You have to decide what you need to make that happen. And
right.
Then you have to go get it. Because when I decided to leave Connecticut, I said I will be in Texas before Christmas. And it didn't matter. I was leaving. I was gone. I was done. And I got down here December 18th. If you don't hold yourself accountable, Linda, to a definitive date and what you need to get yourself there, you're not going to get there. We'll talk about this week after week after week. I'm leaving, and you're still going to be there. You're still going to be there fighting at local council, wasting time, by the way. Because my feeling is if you're leaving, why are you fighting? You should be working towards getting out. If you're getting out, work to get out, right?
I mean, but we haven't even had the meeting to file the suit yet. It's coming in September.
I understand that. But you're occupying your time on fighting something that you say you want to leave anyway. I don't understand that. If you're leaving, why are you fighting? Just get what you need to get and get out. Set a date and leave.
I know. But I think
I'm telling you this as a friend, hon. Telling you this as a friend. See, you're being distracted. And you're allowing yourself to be distracted. Fighting this guy, fighting that guy, this council meeting, this lawsuit, but you're not going to make your goal. If you don't get focused on that goal that you say you want, that has to drive you from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed. Nothing else. Because you're leaving. If you're leaving, then this stuff doesn't matter then. You see what I'm trying to say?
Well, because I'm looking at this the timeline of me from today to the day that I do want to go, and there's a lot of things that have to happen, I think, before I can even do that. So I'm
okay. What has to happen?
There will be the lawsuit has to be filed. It has to be in the works.
But why?
Because I want to be a party to it so that I can get whatever's coming to me if he wins. That's why.
So you think you're going to get money?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think that was...
Well, I thought you guys were doing this to get your rights. I mean, apparently you guys feel you're being violated, right? So I thought...
Oh, my God.
I thought this was a class action suit to get him to comply. Now, how are you... So you guys are claiming personal damages then?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We should be compensated not only on the lawsuit, but as punitive damages as well. So that's what we're hoping for. So we'll see.
How long do you think that'll take?
It'll take from the day they file it, about a year and 4 months. About a year and 4 months from the day they file it.
Okay. So once it's filed, what do they need from you?
I don't know, because that's what this meeting is going to be
about. You know what they
need
from you? Nothing. Until you're asked, maybe, to testify. So you don't have to wait until this case is resolved for you to get out. You see, that's my point. You've already included yourself in a group.
Okay, but you can
come back to California and testify if you needed to, right?
Right. Here's the thing.
Okay.
In order to buy property back there instead of renting an apartment, I would have to wait till the suit is done because I won't be able to do it. I don't have that kind of money yet.
Okay. Well, why don't you rent first, get your money, and then buy?
I could do that.
Yeah. So your goal is for a better life. See, this is what I'm trying to say. If people want a better life, They need to decide what that better life looks like and where and what they need to make it happen.
Right.
That's what we need to concentrate on. See, I don't want Obamacare and I don't want health insurance. How do I get away with that at 49 years and 4 months old? Well, I better take a lot. I better work. I better exercise.
I know.
I better eat right as best I can. Yes, I cheat. And three, I better be taking a wide array of supplements to cover all bases. And I am. I'm not Facebooking and I'm not bitching about Obamacare every week and then eating cheeseburgers.
Right. See, you're walking the walk. I get it.
And it's not bravado. It's just I'm just trying to show that
the path.
If you have a destination,
I know.
You have to say, when do I want to be there and what do I need to make it happen? That's essentially what it is.
I get it.
Why don't you rent first? I'm sure Bill can help you. Rent first, get out, rebuild your life, and then buy at a later time. I mean, don't let buying property keep you in a bad situation. It's not going to work that way. We're going to be talking about this next year. I'm leaving. You're still going to be there. And, Linda, things can get so much worse in California. What you think that you need now may not be enough then. And then see what I mean?
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank everyone. You guys, I get it. I mean, I've been listening to your shows. You know me. I'm a faithful listener. So.
I know.
I just want to also
I'm
thank
you. I'm still taking time off. I'm coming back September 11th.
Okay.
I need a break.
That ought to be a good one.
Hope so.
Boom. Thank you, Bill, so much for calling in, and FT and everybody that was in before. Anyone that's listening through the downloaded stuff, you know, all these different ways to listen. And I'm going to play a little music and get myself going. You guys were great. Thanks, Bill. Bill, do you have any parting thoughts first?
Just hang in there, folks. We're in for a hell of a ride.
I know. I know.
Amen.
And Mikey?
Yeah.
So I hope you liked my scripture in the beginning if you were in on that. So
no, honey. Sorry. I got in at a quarter after. I'm still technically at work. You know, I work from home now. So I'm sneaking this in. I'm lucky I have nothing to do right now.
Yeah, when you get the podcast, just check the first few, you know, minutes you missed and stuff. So anyway, love you guys, and play a little bit of Living in America as a tribute to our friend Frank Winkle, who was also, like, really cool with the monetary system. And he and Ron together, you would have loved those. They were amazing.
Yeah,
guys, be blessed. I'm hoping everybody tunes in for Terry's show. And if you were on, I would promote your show. So...
September 11th, I make my return.
Awesome. Okay, Mikey, thanks so much. Good night, Bill and Mike, and everybody be blessed. Thanks, FT. Here we go. Okay, FT, Mikey B, thank you so much. See you guys for Terry Rowland. Whoever wants to tune in, fabulous. Be blessed and have a great night. Thanks.